Welcome to Bevington Banter, the show where we can sound like we're arguing even when we all agree. I'm Cassidy, and together with my brother Cade and dad Randy, each week we discuss a selection of news stories, topics surrounding the culture, and matters of freedom and faith. Thanks for listening. Follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Share it, and if you like what you hear, rate it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify.
So what's the definition quaint of quaint?
Is charmingly odd, especially in an old-fashioned way. It's the first definition. Two is unfamiliar or unusual in character. And three is cleverly made or done. Wow, that is not at all what I was thinking.
Why do a couple of those definitions not even sound like they sound like they should be the opposite? So apparently you can just use quaint any way you want.
No, I think all those to
odd,
me made perfectly
odd,
sense.
Or
even
unfamiliar
though,
or unusual.
Yeah, even though I couldn't have like
cleverly
labeled it, when I hear all those terms, I'm like, yeah, that's what comes to my mind.
I feel like
quaint.
They always use it for like smaller spaces.
Hey,
something
that's
should,
cozy.
Hey,
cozy
you
is
should
for smaller.
Definitely buy my house. It's super weird.
That's basically what you're saying when you're saying quaint.
My house is super weird. No. You should buy it.
So what term
there's a
do
difference
I use
between weird
to describe
and unique?
If you're in the market, I know of this
it says
great
unusual
3-bedroom, 2-bath house that just went on the market in Sparks, Nevada. Check it out.
It's
is
a,
it quaint? Is it cozy?
It's a
I don't
normal
know
house. It's just normal. It's not. No kind of like weirdo designed it or anything.
It's functional.
It's functional. The bathroom is
okay. Hear me out. Hear me out. Is the root word for quaint and queer the same word?
Oh, unusual, strange. What's the etymology?
I don't know, but the
isn't
root word
isn't that bugs?
Of
isn't that the study etymology of bugs?
Entomology.
That's bugs. That's
etymology. That's different. It's the etymology. Well,
they should have made those words a little bit different than each other. Those are too close.
I don't
one
know
one letter,
the
and we're talking about the study of words and the study of bugs.
I don't know about the etymology or the root word of quaint, but the root word of functional is fun.
Okay, so queer, the etymology is origin unknown. So, but they have an etymology for quaint, so it can't be.
Maybe when first started, like historically, there were people that were not heterosexual, and they were trying to be polite.
They're unusual.
They would be like,
yeah,
that's quaint.
They're quaint.
Possible.
Yeah, but this on Merriam-Webster, the first definition is pleasingly or strikingly old-fashioned or unfamiliar. That is definitely not queer people.
No.
Especially in the beginning when they would have come up with the term. So,
but the reason you're selling your home is because, I mean, we haven't really talked
because,
about any of the big news in
yeah,
your life the last 2 weeks.
That's why I really haven't been on the show. Because Cole got his commission and we're with his family because it's the last time that we don't necessarily know the next time we get to spend a lot of time with them because we're off to Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas pretty soon.
It's Brooke Medical Center, right?
Brooke Army Medical Center, yeah. It's one of the two biggest.
I was going to say the
Army
place is
like
monstrous.
That one in D.C. are monstrous, yeah. So it's a really good place to be for him. It's going to be hot.
Yep. And they'll have bugs that you've never seen before.
That I've never seen?
And yeah. You could get into entomology.
Full circle.
I just recommend that you should enjoy some Entenmann's while you're studying your entomology.
Do
they still make Entenmann's?
I don't know what you just said.
Entenmann's
so
is a type of pastry.
I don't know. Oh.
It's a type of pastry. It's a brand name.
I'm in for pastries.
So. Do you have any other news you'd like to share with the audience?
No.
On the day that you're listening to this, I'm going to be at an Angel game. And so if you have MLB TV or if you're in Southern California, I know it ended up being a bad weekend that the Angels are in Oakland because it's the first weekend of college football. But we're going anyway. So I'm pretty sure we're going to get on TV because we're like a few rows behind the Angels dugout and we have an awesome sign that's going to get us on TV. But if you don't see us on TV, just check out my Facebook and you'll see it.
Okay.
That's the day this airs.
Saturday.
when is this gonna air?
Brian Regan. Are you gonna see Brian Regan?
Yeah, we have tickets to Brian Regan.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure his brother's opening for him.
Do you think he knows?
Mom's pretty excited.
Yeah. Do you think Brian Regan knows his brother's opening for him?
No.
You think they'll use the same joke?
I don't know. It'd be funny. It'd be
I hope.
Interesting to see.
I didn't even know he was going to be here. He didn't open for him when we saw him in Reno.
Okay. So speaking of your concern about people knowing specific dates and times of where you're going to be, have you guys watched any of the Adam Carolla interview with Tucker Carlson?
No.
Tucker Carlson comes right out and says that the next logical step in the attacks against him, trying to keep him from, you know, running and winning the presidency, is assassination.
So that about Trump?
That came out of Tucker Carlson's mouth.
Oh,
about Trump.
Yeah, he's right, though. He's right.
Yeah, and I hadn't really thought about it before, but he said it made sense when he laid it out. He goes, look, they started off with just, you know, attacking him, saying he's this and that in the early days. He's a, you know, womanizer, you know, he's corrupt. He's a corrupt construction guy in New York, blah, blah, blah. And then they, you know, come up with all these other things against him and just made his presidency so hard. And then they impeached him, and then they lied about him and impeached him again. And then they worked up all this January 6th stuff and indicted him, and that made him more popular. So they indicted him 3 more times. He said, look, it's been just this perpetual escalation. That the map of where this is leading to is clear. And he said, it's assassination.
I don't remember why Cole and I got on this topic, but we, a while back, and up did talking about that, and I thought, you know, what is terrible, like the worst thing about that, it would destroy the country. Because I think if you went back to any other time there was attempted assassination attempts or assassinations, no matter what side of the aisle that president was on, or former or presidential candidate, right, in the case of Bobby, I guess, you would say, like, everybody would say how horrible, it was a terrible tragedy, people were mourning. But if this happened to Trump, I shudder to think that there would be people out there, like, dancing in the streets. Almost.
For sure.
Literally. And it would be insane.
I was just going to ask you that, and I thought you were headed right to where I was. I think that for the first time, maybe, there would be a small number of people, say, journalists and politicians, that would say, well, this is what happens when you're a horrible person like Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There'd be stories about what led up to this.
Right.
You know,
it's like, why does ISIS hate us?
Yes, like that. We never, you know, there's a shooting. It's the shooter. There's a terrorist attack. What did we do to make them so angry that they would attack us?
Right.
Why is it our fault that they attacked us? They have done that before. It wouldn't be new. It would just be a new kind of level of it, I think.
And I always thought, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, about an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, because there's plenty of nut jobs out there. However, that's different than an organized effort to recruit and support someone to actually pull it off on behalf of the opposition.
Well, some might say that that did happen with JFK.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. There's definitely more people now.
People think that he was recruited.
There's definitely more people now that think JFK was killed by the CIA than ever before. And there is definitely a higher percentage of people who would think that right off the bat with an assassination like this, as compared to JFK, where people weren't necessarily thinking that, whereas that would be at the front of people's minds now as soon as that happened.
Top of mind.
Top of mind, yes.
And we have so much more.
I need a breathing room.
We have so much more understanding now of, like, the CIA's capability of recruiting and brainwashing people to do things like this.
MK Ultra was a real thing. I mean, it gets almost like fictionalized, but that psychological experiment was of, like, mind control. That was real. Operation Northwoods, was basically a plan for domestic attacks by ourselves framing foreign, you know, entities that we wanted to attack.
Yeah.
To push us into war. And that was real.
Carlson also said that he thinks that we will, that they will involve us, the political left, this administration, they will involve us in war, active war, the U.S. and Russia, to, if they have to say we can't have a change of administrations in while we're in war, if they really feel like they're going to lose.
Totally.
It.
Yes.
What? They'll FDR it? If that wasn't war, but
Jack,
you know.
Posobiec tweeted that he wouldn't put it past the Biden administration to start a war with Russia to kill off the age range of men that, you know, you kill more men,
that's
it's more
crazy.
Likely that Democrats win.
Well,
bottom line, that's just true.
It would take the people that are most likely to stand up and fight back against this destruction of our nation, who would actively resist, that's who would be in a war against Russia.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it went viral. There was definitely a lot of people responding to it. And it was crazy, kind of, to say, but do you put it past them?
I don't put anything past them. Joe Biden
not anymore.
Is the most...
Joe Biden himself, but the administration, no.
Yeah, but... right now, the people just behind Joe Biden, this is like their ideal because they have somebody that is the face and is can be blamed for everything, and he has no clue of what he's doing other than to do what they tell him. So they have no response. They can do anything and they have no responsibility.
How can they keep propping him up? Like, because everybody, yeah. A huge portion of people, right or left, whatever, are in polling are saying they're concerned with his age. They're concerned with his mental capacity.
I
don't understand how they can keep hiding behind that.
I hear those polls, but when you still put Trump versus Biden in this election, it is ridiculously close.
That's why you'll...
That's just what the polls say. I don't believe polls. Polls are meant to shape your opinion. You know they're putting out polls that are putting them close together to make you not question it as much when they say that Biden's the winner.
Okay, well, they had some polls done differently recently about, you know, they gave like 3-word descriptions of Trump and 3-word descriptions of Biden.
Right, how you identify
right.
him.
And,
whatever.
And
words
Trump
you associate
still
with them.
Had a
yeah.
huge number of negatives. Were, you know,
not
criminal,
as high.
Corrupt.
So,
you
yes,
know? I mean, it just,
more than anything else, people associate with him criminal, corrupt,
yeah.
whatever. But
so he
not
was the president of the United
as,
States, and the most identified thing with him is that he's a corrupt criminal.
Not as high as the amount of people that identified old and like senile or whatever
right.
with Joe Biden, but corrupt should be in his
but
words
still
too.
That does not bode right. well when you have I mean, on policy you have a pretty good record as president and the most identified traits with you are corruption. I just don't like it. I just don't like it. I mean, okay, so here's what I've been thinking about this recently. One thing I'll just say very quickly, I'm definitely setting, I'm hitting the pause button on Vivek Ramaswamy. So he's paused. I'll say it that way. The person that needs to be elected is the person who will be able to withstand and hopefully overcome the absolute fury that will come against them to destroy them and make them incapable of implementing a reform agenda that needs to happen. So whoever can do that, who has the ability to do that?
Who do you think that is?
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who it is. I actually don't know if there is anybody strong enough.
The only person
that comes to mind is Donald Trump.
Oh, well, the only other person in the race that's shown the ability is DeSantis.
Yep. Yeah. He might be able to because he's such a good political operator. Well, he's such a good political operator. I think. There are people that would disagree with me, but
are you pausing on Vivek because he is basically outright saying he didn't say things that he said? And
I'm pausing on him because I don't know really who he is. I understand that people change.
But, and I understand how he explained away the whole Soros money for college and stuff like that, but he certainly fought really hard to have that true fact pulled offline so that people didn't see it.
Well, and Megyn Kelly played a bunch of him saying one thing and then saying he never said that and reframing. Yeah.
And again, I sent you guys the picture. It's not really something that we can play an audio clip of, but...
No, but you could tweet it, retweet
weird.
It.
It's weird. Pete Buttigieg and Vivek Ramaswamy were both asking... were both chosen to ask questions at a 2003 Democrat town hall on MSNBC.
I did hear an audio, and Vivek's question to Al Sharpton was basically... You're the one with the least political experience. Why should I vote for you? And now he's the one in that position.
Yeah, but you know what got me about that clip? I was stunned at what a good answer Al Sharpton gave.
Yeah, that was one of the most honest things that he's ever said in his life.
Yeah.
He's like, why should I vote for the person with the least amount of political experience? You shouldn't, because I have the most political experience. And it's funny because you can play politics without being an elected politician. Right. That's what
he's not
saying.
Wrong about that.
No, he's not. Lifelong bureaucrats, they are professional politicians that have never been elected. I mean, I get a little bit more what they're saying because he was more of like a societal kind of person than he was actually.
He's an activist, a community organizer. Yes.
Well, then because he was never really even in an appointed position.
Right.
So, I mean, he wasn't technically in politics, but he's right. He's been involved in politics longer than any of them.
Speaking of being involved in politics for a very long time, do we need more evidence, more arguments for term limits?
You mean Mitch McConnell stroking out again?
Again? I don't think it's a stroke. I think it's a seizure.
Me too. That's whatever. What I've been saying.
Okay,
seizures.
Whatever, but
it's
potato, potato.
Not good. And then you ask yourself, who is running Mitch McConnell's office? And if the answer is Mitch McConnell, that's a problem. And if the answer is anybody else,
that was whispering in his ear,
that is also a problem.
Yeah, they're not elected.
Either way is a problem.
Who's running Dianne Feinstein's office? Who's running John Fetterman's office?
Remember when she didn't she didn't even know she was gone?
She had been gone for 3 months.
His goiter is running.
His goiter's whispering in his ear. Did you guys hear that ad campaign that he did? Was it what the guy's name? John Casey or something?
It's John Casey.
Hey, John Casey.
Hey.
That was hilarious. They had to have piecemealed that together. There's no way he did that in a take.
They got it in one continuous take?
Yeah, no way. So, here was my thought on that, though. The thing with McConnell, when I saw that happen now the second time with what? It's been within a month? These are the people who are in positions who will determine if our young men and women go off to fight a war in Russia, China, Taiwan. Not a chance. And you're talking to a guy with 11 years military service. Not a chance my kid or grandkid is going to fight a war that these clowns get us into. No way.
I think I'm too old. Out of the draft. Yeah. I think I've aged out of the draft.
I'm just saying that, not that any of my kids or grandkids at this point are in immediate trouble, but I'm just saying, if I'm a person,
it should be the same for everybody, brain dead,
corrupt people. I mean, we have this Joe Biden thing. We have everything except, you know, we have everything except Poroshenko or somebody, you know, or Xi handing him a bag of cash, a picture of it. We have everything but that. Now, when they come out with 5,300 emails of him using these pseudonyms, these fake names to do business.
It's over 5,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they released, what, they said like 80 of them?
So.
I'm way aged out of the draft.
It's what is it?
18 to 25.
Oh.
So
once your brain's fully developed, they don't draft you anymore?
I can't
manipulate them as well.
I told Cade last week that for the first time, I have serious doubts that Joe Biden will be the nominee because I just think that this corruption ship is just taking on water too fast.
We already know who it's going to be.
They have nobody. They have set up nobody.
I know who it's going
to
be.
But Gavin Newsom surely wants to.
I'm calling it right now because Trump won't be able to run. I know who it's going to be. going to be Pete Buttigieg and Vivek Ramaswamy. 20 years after both asking questions, it'll
to
be
Al Sharpton.
Yeah, it'll be the headline. Al Sharpton's going to moderate their first debate. That would be one of the funniest things on television I've ever seen in my life.
Cornel West is running in the Green Party.
Yeah, I knew that.
And like could poll Democratic votes.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be great.
I don't know.
Why would he pull he'd pull Republican votes too, depending on who the nominee is.
Cornel West?
Yeah.
I don't know how many Republican votes he'd pull.
I don't know. I think he needs to brush his hair if he wants more votes.
Clay Travis actually, I heard the other day, was advocating for a Trump Robert Kennedy ticket.
Well, you're going to get a lot of votes, I guess.
I want to know. Yeah, you would get a lot of votes.
Is that the only way to overpower the corruption in the election? I don't.
That is not who I thought you were talking about. Cornel West. Wrong person.
Yeah,
is
not Colonel West.
Colonel West. I thought you just mispronounced Colonel. And I was like, why would Colonel West get
Colonel West.
Democrat votes?
That's not. That's
He's
not,
a Republican. He's a conservative.
This isn't me, you, and KJP.
Oh,
yes,
Alan
that's
West.
True. Yeah, Colonel Alan West.
Yeah.
I thought you mispronounced Colonel.
Kennedy one, to me, is interesting. If with Joe in such bad shape, I mean, and RFK is a classic Democrat. It's not that I don't think that Democrats wouldn't go to him. It's that he'll have a hard time getting traction to be the nominee because of the establishment in the media, because they're not typical Democrats. They're far left and they just won't let it happen. They're going to do everything they can to keep it from happening, because I think he'd get a ton of classic Democrat votes.
Oh, yeah. People that would now call themselves independents because they don't know where they belong anymore.
Yeah, it could be.
I think a lot of those people would be.
Who was it you're talking about?
RFK Jr.
Oh, yes. I agree. And I think, honestly, if he knew, I think if you asked RFK Jr. to vote between Trump and Biden, I think if we really knew who he voted for, without him saying it out loud, I think he'd vote for Trump.
See, I don't think that.
You don't?
I think he's party loyal.
No way.
I think so.
He's party loyal, but he wants to get the party back from the wackos.
So
he's pretty hardcore about a couple issues. Yeah.
So you vote him in for another term just so he can make it even worse, so that the pendulum will swing back to him. That's the only way that I could almost
there
see him running.
There are people that operate on that theory.
I could almost see him running third party specifically to make Joe Biden lose without. And here's the thing. If you say you can't in one turn say that he's party loyal and would vote for Biden because he's a Democrat, and on the other side say he would run third party, those can't exist together. So either he would run third party or he's so diehard Democrat that he would vote for Biden, even though he's the worst ever. Which one
well,
is it?
I don't,
it can't
he's
be
not
both.
Going to run. He's not going to run third party.
Oh, I thought that's what you were saying.
No. No, okay. Cassidy just brought that up
he
about...
he would pull those votes.
Oh, he would. It would
a lot
that,
of those
yes,
votes.
Biden would lose if he ran third party.
And, yeah. And he's also mm-hmm. said he wouldn't be Trump's VP.
Of course not.
So, I don't know why people talk about that.
So, speaking of news in Trump world, he pleaded not guilty recently. Just pleaded in this Georgia case.
Today.
What is more aggravating? Did you hear... So, like, all the other people that were indicted with him in this case, and they're not rich, they're not wealthy people, right? Especially, I was hearing specifically about Jenna Ellis and how she couldn't get legal defense. It was outrageous. And it, because to be even associated with
lawyer.
The case, associated with Trump, but you're not going to defend yourself. I mean, she could, but anyway, to get a legal team... It was insane, like the cost up front without even paying, before even paying the legal fees. And finally, I think she found somebody for like $500,000, but that doesn't include the legal fees. That's just to get them on retainer or whatever. And so people, I think, have been supporting. She has a fund for her legal defense, but that is very so unfortunate. Like all the people that get dragged in with him on top of it.
For those people that think that they have some inkling that Trump, you know, has this is justified legally, these charges against him, you don't think that this is just a weaponization of the Department of Justice against your political opponent? Well, on Trump, I guess maybe you can think that with some level of sincerity, of some level of genuineness, but you cannot make that case against his lawyers. You cannot say that there is any justified case against his lawyers. You are denying him one of our most basic constitutional rights for any of us to be able to have a legal defense.
They've been doing it to his legal teams for years.
I know it.
They've been persecuting them. I mean, like, ending their careers, attacking them personally. I mean, we've talked about this before. I think that it's the reason why we had talked about reasons why they would want Trump to be the nominee again. And the reason is that
nobody's going to take on his case if
they
screwed.
If they cheat and he gets and he loses again and it's overtly cheated away from him, no one's going to come defend him because right. Everyone that did it last time lost their livelihoods. So many reputations were destroyed, lives destroyed defending him. No one is going to do that again.
I was thinking about this today. This is the way that you now need to think about that amazing document that we've all revered, the Constitution. You now need to, in your mind, just take that document and see it as a museum piece. That is now just a museum piece, part of history past. That is not who we are any longer at all. And you are only doing yourself a disservice if you view all that's going on in this country through the eyes of the that we are a constitutional republic. Because it's not. It's just simply a historical museum piece.
Yeah, and the Declaration of Independence, you need to read like a mandate now. Because if anything good is going to happen, it's going to be by throwing off a tyrannical government. Legitimately.
Yeah, well,
promising
yeah.
your what is it? Your honor and your posterity and
your fortune.
Your fortune.
In more miscarriage of justice, yesterday, 5 pro-life activists, I don't know if they were all associated with PAAU, which is, or at least some of them were, which is Progressive Anti-Abortion Uprising, which that group is hardcore. Like, I kind of wish that more conservatives were willing to go to lengths as them, because they do not care what happens to them. But they were found guilty on charges of conspiracy and violation of the FACE Act for their 2020 rescue action, which they're outside that DC Planned Parenthood, where Santangelo was letting babies die after failed abortions, which is illegal. And they knew of illegal activity and were attempting to go into rescue babies. And they were arrested for that.
Well, they recovered 5 dead babies' bodies out of the trash, didn't they?
Was that this?
I thought that was it. This happened like a year and a half ago.
This was in 2020.
I had heard that like a truck driver who...
Yes, they got those from a truck driver.
That was like 130. Oh,
that's right. He was taking the waste away.
It was not 5. It was like 100. It was over 100.
Oh, maybe it was 5 people that were arrested. I was thinking.
But live action... In their article, they have some dialogue from the... Okay, so they have the attorney, that's the prosecuting attorney, questioning one of the defendants. Basically says, you know that abortions are legal in the District of Columbia. The defendant says, I know that some abortions are, but partial birth abortion, an abortion that a fetus survives outside the womb, then he's cut off. And the attorney says, sir, to the judge. And the judge says, sir, as a practical matter, that's not correct. There are no statutes in the District of Columbia that say anything about limitations on abortion. And the defendant said, there's federal laws, Your Honor. And the judge said, you're going to be a legal expert here? I suggest that you not get into that. So there's just bias in the courtroom, in this case. And I'm sure the defending attorneys, the defense attorneys, think they have grounds for appeal.
I was going to say, I would immediately be thinking, well, at least I've got grounds for appeal now.
Yeah, so they think it's going to be going, you know, even as high as the Supreme Court. But
well, I was thinking about this case, in hearing it this last couple of days, and how they can say that they are making a legal argument to prosecute these people, but it is a perversion of the laws. It's not, you know, to just say, well, they're just upholding the law. No, they're not upholding the law that was the way it was written and the intent for which it was written. They are taking something and they're perverting it so they can use it to bring persecution against somebody who's not legally, you know, guilty of anything.
And the other thing is, if this case holds, if this verdict holds, imagine now, because of the FACE Act, what you've allowed now, any industry, say the oil industry that you want to protest or whatever that wants to do something, they could just have some act, like, right, lobby for some act to be put through Congress that gives them protections unlike anything else, like the FACE Act does for the abortion industry. Now they're protected from, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
This precedent that
this
that
is
sets.
Why this is why I was thinking and listening to the news on this case, why my thought was you need to just put the Constitution in a museum and view it as a historical document, because what they're doing is in no way rationally keeping the spirit of why these laws were implemented that are now being used, you know, to I'd say prosecute, persecute these people.
Their biggest legal battle is going to be pretty easily proving that that's a human life according to federal law. And there are so many, this has got to fall under some kind of Good Samaritan. You have a lot of wiggle room when it falls under like Good Samaritan laws. If you can prove that, if you just make the case that that is legitimately a human life that they are killing, Good Samaritan laws, I'm sorry. But if there's a baby in there that you're just going to negligently kill and you're not going to let me back there, I will kill you. That is a legal justification for self-defense.
That's true.
You should be able to violently...
Because that baby's defenseless, yes.
You should be able to violently remove that person from your path. I don't know where to go from there after me just saying that I would kill them. I'm not lying, though. Take to the bank. I don't know how you could stand there. They should have an easy legal case. They should be able to say, yeah, I killed that doctor. There was a baby crying that they were just going to leave back there and die. I killed him. I'd kill him again.
Well, if the baby was crying, I mean...
What do you think they're doing? The ones that are born alive and they let them die? What do you think?
I know they're crying, but what I'm saying, if you could hear the baby crying, then I think you would be 100% justified.
Yeah.
I don't think that... But... how are you going to prove the baby was crying? You don't think they're going to lie?
I don't care.
If the child was?
I don't care. Send me to jail.
So, I stayed up last night and watched the Oliver Anthony Joe Rogan interview.
I heard some of it today on...
Beck?
Glenn Beck, yeah.
Yeah, it was all right. Joe Rogan doesn't know how to... interview somebody like that guy, like Oliver Anthony or Chris Lunsford.
Yeah.
You need to be a different kind of interviewer to interview somebody who just gained fame like overnight, because all his other guests, it's very easy. They're there for a reason. They're famous. They're public speakers. They're familiar with it. They know the stories that really get people going, and they tell those stories. So you can ask them a question and it turns into like, you know, a 30-minute, you know, speech by the person that you're interviewing, and they do a lot of the talking, and then every once in a while, Joe Rogan asks a question. That's usually the kind of guest he has on. This is a totally different guest. You got to be constantly asking questions. You have to prepare for this interview a little bit more than
Joe Rogan other was ones. My feeling from the very beginning and all the way through is he was completely unprepared. And I don't ever feel that way about Joe Rogan, but I did in this one to interview
you
him.
You don't feel that way because the guests that he have on are compelling, and they're willing to take up a lot of the airtime.
But here's the thing. Joe Rogan usually does a lot of preparation and has a lot of background. He'll like read
their book or something before they
come
in. There's
no way Joe Rogan prepared or even knows how to prepare for somebody like an Oliver Anthony who claims to have basically just had a spiritual awakening, a rebirth.
Read the Bible, Joe Rogan.
Well, and that's completely foreign to him as well.
Yeah, which passage, is why when
it makes no sense
Oliver
to him.
Anthony read
so how's
the
he
Bible
gonna,
on his show.
Right. Read
it
Proverbs.
Makes no sense to him. How is he going to interview him when the foundation of the faith is, as far as he's concerned, is a complete fairy tale and is illogical? So how's he going to interview him? I mean, it was all right, and Oliver Anthony did well. I mean, he did perfectly fine in what he
explained.
On the
other side of it, but think about how many listens, watches does he get?
11 million.
Per episode? Right.
And if they watched that was good. It was very good that 11 million people heard that.
That man's testimony, just heard Proverbs 4 quoted to them, you know?
Yeah. So, no, that was, and the other thing was, it's not just the fact that Joe Rogan has no context to know how to interview somebody like an Oliver Anthony. It's also the fact that Joe Rogan is totally, you know, be in control, determine your own destiny, make it happen. You know, I'm all for that kind of responsibility. But on the flip side of it is Oliver Anthony was totally like, I just had to completely surrender.
Right.
I mean, it's the other extreme from a Joe Rogan. And I just wondered what was going on in his head. If he was trying to be polite, but at the same time thinking, yeah, well, I'm the master of my own fate. Although, I've heard Joe Rogan say, hey, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. And he is.
Hey, that Wagner guy's not dead.
Are you kidding?
Wait a minute.
No, Prigozhin.
No, Prigozhin.
Yeah, he's not dead.
I saw this video, an old video that surfaced. This is a new video that came out after his funeral.
He said, I'm not dead. He says the date in it. He says it's the second half of August, 2023, for those of you wondering if I'm dead or whatever.
Hey. It's the second half of August. It was the second half of August when he supposedly died.
I was going to say that could have been on August 16th and he hadn't been shot down yet.
I don't know.
Does he go, nah, 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 nah? That would be
a good giveaway. He says that he's in Africa.
I did hear a report that there were like
how do you spell Prigozhin? Spell Prigozhin.
I have no idea. Don't even ask me. Hang on. I need to get this bar. Okay, how am I doing? It's the weekend. I need to go back to the beginning, but I need... Okay, for those discussing whether or not I'm alive, how am I doing... It's the weekend, the second half of August, 2023. I am in Africa. It hasn't changed yet. Russian sentences are long, I guess. So fans of discussing my elimination, intimate life, earnings, or whatever. As a matter of fact, everything is fine.
That's the whole video. The headlines say a new video surfaces of him like joking about his death days before his death.
This isn't joking. I don't know. This isn't joking about his death. He's wearing a boonie cap.
Well, he's saying for people that
he's in the back of a Jeep. I don't know.
Dismissing security fears days before plane crash. That's what I'm seeing.
That's not what I'm seeing. I don't know. It's just weird. That guy has been dead like half a dozen times before. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Hey, there's one other thing that I wanted to get your guys' opinion on. What did you think about KJP's response to the whole ISIS smuggling network?
This is in regards to the Uzbekian people who have come over the border?
I don't know.
With ties to
I don't know.
ISIS?
I don't care about that. I heard about an ISIS smuggling network that definitely brought people into the country. And she's like, well, we definitely learned about it. And those people that they brought in, we have intel or whatever, and we did extra vetting on them.
Extra vetting, yeah.
Extra vetting on them? I'm sorry. You don't apply extra vetting to someone who was smuggled in by ISIS. You vet people. You find out that they were smuggled in by ISIS, and that alone is the disqualifying factor for them being here anymore. So,
yeah.
This is the story I heard of these Uzbek people coming in, and they were helped in by an ISIS smuggler.
They don't have any ties to terrorism, though. I'm sorry. Smuggled in by ISIS. That is a tie to terrorism. It's a terrorist group. That's the tie. The being smuggled in part.
Right.
I don't understand.
That's an automatic disqualification.
I don't understand that.
It's an automatic disqualification when you get to the word smuggle.
That too.
Period.
Yes.
This is one of those where all of this garbage, all these people coming in, it's illegal. They are not legally entering the country. But this administration has taken, and they've got all these bureaucratic guidelines in place that allow them to say it is legal, even though it's in clear violation of immigration law. This is why I said, take the Constitution and put it in a museum. It's just a historical document.
And they're all bad, but there just seem to be different levels of severity. And this one seems worse. Chinese nationals, military aged men from Haiti and smuggled in by ISIS are worse than like family of four from Mexico, even though I know that's not happening very much. It's still mostly military aged males from Mexico, which is a problem. But there are levels of severity to me. I think they're all bad, and the whole slippery slope thing makes it to where you kind of have to say nobody. But if I were allowed to just like choose, I'm kicking the smuggled in by ISIS people out first.
Yeah, well, I find it so infuriating every time I hear some government official talk about vetting these people coming into the country. The only vetting that takes place is when a person approaches a port of entry and attempts to gain access to the United States legally. Then they go through the proper immigration process that may take several years, and that's when they are vetted. Other than that, there is zero vetting taking place, and it just infuriates me to have them lie such a blatant lie to my face, and they think I'm going to buy it.
How long do you think until terrorist organizations realize they don't have to use sleeper cells anymore? They could just start calling them awake cells, and they could just like put neon signs in front of their, like in front of the building that they're using, and we're terrorists. We're plotting something, and then somebody on the street would be like, I've been told that if I see something, I'm supposed to say something. I think those guys are terrorists. Are you saying that because they're foreigners? That's hate speech. You're going to prison. And terrorists are going to be like, oh, awake cells. That's a new thing.
Their sign will be protected under free speech.
Yes. Even though the Constitution doesn't apply to them.
Did you guys hear the clip of Biden talking about the new vaccine for the new COVID?
This one works.
And this one works?
This one works. Yeah. As soon as
he
said that,
I heard that.
As soon as he said that, all the people backstage definitely just went, oh no, somebody get me the person that writes KJP's book. I'm just going to put in, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't comment on that. Put it everywhere.
Yeah. Or, I'm not going to get into that. That's what she also said.
And she's real stupid. So put Steve Doocy, what was up with Biden saying, this one will work, KJP. I don't know. Just write it out like a script. It's going to happen.
They had a clip of her the other day where she, instead of saying guardrails, she called them godrails.
There was another one. My favorite was
Warload.
No, when she combined hypothetical and theoretical.
Yeah.
So she said hypotheoretical.
Yeah.
What if it's just, what if she said hyper?
I think she said hyper.
It's very theoretical.
Maybe she said hypothetical. I think that's what she said. Hypothetical.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
She also said something about a warlord instead of a
warlord.
Yeah, warlord.
But she didn't correct herself.
No.
Because she doesn't know. Because she's stupid.
She needed a breathing room.
She needs a non-breathing room.
To get her.
She needs to be put in a room with no oxygen.
No oxygen.
No. No.
What?
I distance myself from that comment.
How am I going to suck all the air out of a room that she's in?
Pull a vacuum. Here's a feel good story though on the COVID. It's been out there for a while. We've never talked about that. There was an anti-vax nurse in Germany who gave 8,600 elderly patients saline injections rather than the mRNA vaccine, and she was acquitted.
But if it was this,
she's a hero.
If it was this new vaccine, she would have been convicted because this one works.
This one works. No reason not to give it.
It was fine. If you do it again. Because this time it works.
I was cracking up at Matt Walsh yesterday because the Nevada police in your state, Cassidy.
Yes, they ran over those people at Burning Man.
They were tribal police.
You know, yeah. I did not realize that it was Burning Man because normally every year I see people in town where I'm like, oh, did Burning Man just happen? Like, clearly Burning Man just happened, but I haven't seen anyone yet.
You haven't seen any freaks?
Yeah.
Walsh was going as I. He goes, I know it may surprise you guys, but I am a sucker for these feel-good videos. You know, one of these, you're scrolling along and there's some kid who gets hearing aids and he hears his parents' voices for the first time. It just melts your heart. He goes, and I just came along one recently.
The feel-good video, yeah.
Yeah, and he just started playing that one. Yeah, you're under arrest. You know, it was hilarious. He goes, oh, it just warms my heart.
It was great. They ran over their roadblock, and the lady's like, "We're peaceful protesters. We're nonviolent."
Yeah, we're climate activists.
We're climate protesters. I don't care. Get out of the road. This is a highway.
Well, I have a feel good story. This one is a feel good story to go with just to go on the other side of the miscarriage of justice in the pro-life activist case. We did get some good news in that the Fifth Circuit blocked the FDA had like new approvals for that you could get the abortion pills like over the phone and up to the 10th week and just like online. We didn't need a prescription. The Fifth Circuit blocked the online or telehealth or the prescription-free distribution of the abortion pill, and they blocked its use after seven weeks.
And the Fifth Circuit, and I will tell you, do you know?
I don't know, but they're appealing. I'm sure it's going to go higher, but it's stayed at least for now. And I will tell you that we have women who come in and they are considering abortion if they can get the pill, but they don't want to have a surgical procedure. Hmm. And to say if the difference between 7 weeks and 10 weeks is a big difference.
But not just that. Not just that. It prevents a lot of knee-jerk reaction with no thought, like instant fear. As opposed to it's been a while. I've come to terms with this. This is going to happen.
Right, because you can't just get over the phone.
I've told people they've been supportive. Right. Because if not,
right,
you could find out, and that woman could be the only person that knows. She never tells anyone.
Right.
Whereas this is going to force her to let other people know.
Because she has to go through a process to get it.
And if she sees any kind of support, it could change her mind. Whereas before, she wouldn't have even sought that.
Right. And a huge thing, I mean, the reason this is, it's common sense, is because after, especially 8 weeks or beyond, and, you know, you're estimating the date. So say you get it, so basically after 7 weeks, the chances that you get that pill, you go home, you take it, you pass that baby at home. And if it's 8 weeks or beyond, you might see recognizable body parts because it looks like a human being. And those women are not prepared for it. They're told it's a clump of cells. That is not a clump of cells. And they are, you know, scarred for life, traumatized for life.
Yeah, I have a feeling all of this abortion stuff is going to be, I mean, it's just going to be ongoing. There's going to be ongoing
back and forth, I'm
legal
sure.
battles, yeah. So, but hey, but anyway, you take the wins you can get, man. For sure. Absolutely. So Cade's going to the Ohio State game this week, right?
Yep.
First game of the season.
Why is Ohio State playing Indiana on week one?
Because there's so many Big Ten teams.
There's so many
now.
Big Ten teams. It's half the nation's in the Big Ten. The other half's in the SEC.
So you're not playing everyone
like
in the Big Ten.
16 teams in the Big Ten next year.
Is this like a non-conference game?
No, this is a conference game. How could it be a non-conference game?
Well, no, because I know in softball, some teams played their conference, but that was considered a non-conference game because they hadn't gotten to conference play yet. They played them again, and it was considered conference. It was in their conference
record. There's way more softball games than there are football games. You can't be playing conference.
Well, I know, but I'm just thinking conference you only play so many conference games. Not every team in the Big Ten is playing each other.
Correct, but they'll play another week when there's not just conference game weeks. Some week when
Most people don't start conference play until week, four?
They used to. But now they can't because you're stating a time when they play a conference team before conference play starts, but it's still a team they're going to play again later.
Yes, that's true.
This is not a team they're going to play again later.
Right.
This is one time.
But also I'm saying not every team in the Big Ten plays every team in the Big Ten.
Correct. You play.
So if we played somebody very soon out of our normal, out of our whatever division in the Big Ten.
That's probably not going to really happen much anymore.
Okay.
Because just there are 16 teams now.
Right.
And if they play 12 games with three out of conference, they could play only the people in their division.
Right.
And you could never play a team from the other division.
The SEC is the same way. I mean, they're adding teams to SEC.
Isn't the Big Ten, isn't going to be 18?
Yes. Isn't Oregon and Clemson now also confirmed?
No, Oregon and Washington.
Whoa. No. Penn State was 11.
Okay.
Nebraska was 12.
Maryland, Rutgers.
13 and 14 was Maryland, Rutgers, and USC, UCLA would be 16.
Right. And Notre Dame is going to come in.
Well, that's not.
They haven't
that's
said
not
that.
For sure.
Did you just say but Oregon and Washington to the
Oregon
Big Ten?
Oregon and Washington are coming for sure. In. That is real. Yes.
Whoa, since when?
Yeah. Did you know that?
No.
Like a month ago, the Pac-12
I thought,
dissolved.
I never
there
heard of
four,
that.
They're going to be four
I thought
teams
there was
in the Pac-12.
An, yeah, I thought there was another. Yeah.
Holy
yeah. The Pac-12 is down to four teams. I thought there was an ACC team coming in, either Clemson or.
They can't get out the buyout, their situation. They
so
can't
big.
Get out.
Plus,
so maybe
plus if they
when
were,
their contract's up.
If they were, it would make sense for Clemson and Florida State to go to the SEC.
Right. No, but the conversation is that Florida State and Clemson want to leave the ACC, but they have to wait until that TV contract is up.
Hmm.
But they are talking about adding Stanford and who's the other Pac-12 team?
Cal or Oregon State or?
Or, yeah.
Colorado? Where are they at?
Why didn't,
no, they're going to the Big 12. Colorado's going to the Big 12.
Why didn't they just keep the Pac-12 and just call it Big 10 West? And then
That's funny.
Yeah, it's going to end up being that anyway.
If the Pac-12 wants to survive, they basically need to join the Mountain West and rename it and let the Mountain West people run it because Pac-12 obviously doesn't know how to run a conference.
I almost wonder if the people that run the conference in the Pac-12 care. You got to care about it first.
They're terrible at TV deals, marketing. I know that. That's where they really blew it.
West Coast sports just, other than the fact that it's like come play in the sunshine, they struggle. I mean, they've had a hard time keeping football teams and, professional sports even.
So Power 5 is dead.
I mean, the whole Reggie Bush thing,
right?
USC kind of got killed.
Power 5 is dead. That's no longer a term.
Correct.
What do we say? So it's basically the Big Ten, the SEC, and everybody else.
College football is going to be the Big Ten versus the SEC. That's the meaningful
that's
football.
That's why they're basically saying you need to have like a top tier and a.
So are they going to just rename the Big Ten?
The other thing,
or when you get to 20, is it still going to be like the Big Tens?
How
time two.
Does this work? How does this every other conference? That's what they're also talking about. Football teams being conferenced like separately than all the other sports, because the football team, you only play so many games. So the travel, like to travel, you know, if you're playing USC, UCLA, because you're in your conference, not as big of a deal as saying, I'm a basketball team, I'm a baseball team. You play a ton of games and conference games, and there's no way you can spend all that time and money traveling that far across the country.
That's true.
How do you do that?
Especially when those sports don't make nearly as much money.
Exactly.
Right. No, they can't do that. No, you're right. And there are. I mean, that's not unusual. There have been football conferences and basketball conferences. They don't play the same.
That's like the discussion.
If you have these two big conferences and then you just geographically, you're going to end up with the same conferences. But if you're going to end up with the same teams grouped together. At some point, because you're going to have to geographically create divisions create divisions within the conference. You're going to have to. So how about those other sports just play within their division as a conference? And in football, the conferences are bigger, made up of the smaller geographical divisions. However, you're going to end up with basically the Big 12 division of the Big 10 and the Pac-12 division of the Big 10.
I was going to say, are you going to end up with these separate divisions or conferences within conferences?
Yeah, but equal. Separate but equal.
which basically puts us back to the original system of all these conferences.
It will be the original
based on geography.
Because they won't be able to travel that far. So the divisions are just going to be what the conferences used to be.
Okay, or here's the other flip side.
If we're going geographically, let's go all the way and go all the way back to when you had to draft geographically. Was it in basketball?
I don't know.
Oh, no. Texas.
I'm just kidding.
Texas would just win all the time again. Like, the Longhorns are back because they have to be.
Yeah, I mean, Texas has enclosed...
Well, not recruit. That was, like, a professional thing. Like, the NBA for a while, like, drafted geographically or something from colleges.
Mm. And just like that, from one year to the next, the Houston Texans are Super Bowl champions.
It's harder to travel. It's harder to travel to recruit.
Yeah.
Back in the day it was.
Back then. Yeah. So you did have a lot more.
So here's the thing though. This is what I see is like, take the in football, the Big Ten and the SEC and take them out and make them separate. Everybody else can be a part of the NCAA system that we've been operating under. Those two conferences they make the NCAA irrelevant.
Right.
They have so much money and so much power.
From the NCAA.
Right. So Are they going to simply, can we stop treating this like this is college amateur sports? These two conferences are basically just schools with sponsored
farm
teams.
Leagues. They're NFL farm leagues.
They're schools with sponsored teams. They sponsor a football team. And they try to put the best football team they can on the on the field.
Yeah,
except that they don't
business.
Pay the team
it's
money
pure
to
business.
Sponsor them.
No, but they're starting to get. What did they get? They got some kind of rights for like the use of these players' likenesses
and stuff. Yeah.
But
the school doesn't pay them.
Yeah, but it's a step.
The boosters do.
Come on, it's a toe in the door.
For the first time in 10 years, EA Sports is going to make an NCAA football game.
Right.
Because it's only been Madden for 10 years now because of the whole name and likeness thing. They got in trouble. They got sued by a couple players. Actually, one of the big players was Johnny Manziel, who sued EA Sports for using his likeness. And they're like, well, we didn't put his name in it. But they have like his height and his weight and his number and position and like all that other stuff. And they did that with the entire NCAA. No, they did not do actual face likenesses. But those were
like
definitely who those
faces.
People were. So they got sued and they lost because the players weren't allowed to make any money from it. Well, now EA Sports has decided that it's going to be lucrative enough for them to make the game and just play the payers or pay the players. That was weird. Mitch McConnell.
I actually wish that Johnny Manziel would have worked out in the NFL.
He worked out all the time.
Did you watch his?
He was super buff.
Is it Netflix?
I mean, I wish
they have that Untold series.
I don't know.
And they did an episode on him, but I think that one wasn't as interesting as they did. They did a four-parter on Urban's Florida.
Yeah, the something swamp.
Yeah, something in the swamp. Yeah.
Urban Meyer's
and
a smarty.
People said it's good.
He's a smart.
He's a weird
he's
dude now.
Smarmy.
He really fell off. Like
I never liked
him as a football coach, but I didn't hate him as a person.
I didn't like him as a person but it wasn't because I knew the things that I know now, but it was just like he just always seemed to be arrogant and he got away with things like he was just kind of a mercenary and he would use these excuses to get out of a contract and then he'd take a year off and get another contract. And
this is like the third or fourth time that we've bashed Urban Meyer on this podcast.
Well, let's make it five or six.
Because he's the worst. We'll say it again next week.
But here's my thing. I feel good about it because I said all along, even as Ohio State is winning all those games, I still would say, I don't like him. I don't care. I don't like him.
No, he was like the number one thing that was, we haven't won anything since then, but he was really holding them back. There was a reason why he only coached special teams. He's not a good football coach. He never was. And I didn't like him for that reason. The one thing that he was the coach of, he couldn't pick the correct punt returner That's to true. Save his life. How many times are we going to put Garrett Wilson back there to drop the ball? Let's do it again. Let's put the same dummy back there who can't catch the ball.
I got another feel-good story.
Okay.
We got our first egg today from our chickens.
Chicken egg. First chicken egg.
Yeah.
Egg number one, and I'm going to eat it after I work out.
Are you going to eat it raw or cook it?
I'm going to eat it raw. That's how I eat my egg, so I might as well find out what it's going to be, what they're going to be like.
You get, yeah.
You don't want to cook the
Can you really
the first
compare
egg?
Them when you eat them raw? Can you tell, like, ooh, that's a good egg, that's a bad, you know?
He said it to me before. He's like, the yolk is too weak. Look at this. Look at this weak
you can
little.
Feel it. It's round. It's firm. It just, yeah, you can tell a good yolk.
Okay. I can tell there's. Right, so. I can tell that this chicken is on too much estrogen.
Let us know the quality of your
my
eggs.
My chickens are perfect, are completely organic, cage-free, free range. So I'm expecting some good eggs.
I don't know what you feed them, though.
I feed them organic chick feed, and now I'm changing to layer feed, plus whatever if we throw in some, you know, cantaloupe rinds or whatever kind of stuff that you get. So, and grass.
They eat like pigs.
Man, you
should. We're gonna get some fresh eggs, fresh backyard eggs tonight. Actually, we're going to dinner for someone who has chickens.
If you can see a happy chicken, you should see them when I move their coop onto new grass. You can almost see the smiles on their beaks.
They're so happy.